And we have a lot of technology going on to broadcast this out live and to be able to hear the video. So I'm just going to stop right now, ask God to allow all this to work so that the good news of your testimonies as students today will be heard. So Father, thank you for each of these students today. Thank you for the life that you give us in your church, for faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, as we prepare and share today, may this word go forth. May their testimonies be heard. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you're joining us online, welcome. We do have one student, Abby Hochschild, who is online with us today. And we are also have our students here that are going to share their faith with pre-recorded video testimonies. So nothing fuels our joy more than hearing from our church family who are walking in this journey of faith. And as followers, making followers of Jesus, you know, you have been part of this work here at Bethlehem Church. So if you're part of that today, we're celebrating what God has been doing through the lives of these students in the church. And if you're joining us as guests or watching us online today, you're invited to celebrate with us because it is amazing to see what God is doing. So we're starting our fifth week in a series called the Messiah Reading Bible, and it's the New Testament. And first up this week in our reading is the Gospel of Mark. So as we open the book, the first person we're introduced to is the Baptist named John. And John is calling people to repentance, baptizing them as a sign of that repentance, and then proclaiming that they need to get ready. Someone is coming. John announced, "Someone is coming who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So today, Brody was baptized in the name of the one who came after John, God's Son, Jesus Christ. And after Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, the Bible says that he went into Galilee proclaiming the good news, saying the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So today we're celebrating with each of you students today that you are doing just that. You have completed a two-year discipleship confirmation course or its equivalent, and you are confessing your faith by turning to Jesus in repentance and believing the good news. So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to let these students share that journey of faith in their words. They're going to share God's good news. And we're going to hear what we believe as a church and what they have received and now are being compelled by that very gospel to live as Jesus followers in our world. So I appreciate this class very much because you all tell it really kind of like what it is. You know, this is real Jesus following. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's up and down, but it's true, and it's a step made by faith. So you're trusting through faith. And as we listen to them, we are hearing God calling a new generation to receive the good news and follow him. So mission friends at Bethlehem Church and throughout the world, we are hearing today the church going deeper in Christ and further in mission.
My name is Grace Dawson, and this is my statement of faith. My journey with God is like a roller coaster all over the place. My faith was like the beginning of the roller coaster, going up and up and up like it was. I was big with God, and I knew him and believed in him. Then there's the drop, and that's when my faith with God went downhill. I just wasn't wanting to go to church, and I didn't understand the sermons and didn't want anything to do with God. Then I was invited to go to Lake Beauty by a friend, and going to Lake Beauty and seeing that God can be more than just going to church every Sunday and going to Sunday school. Then my faith was growing, and I wanted to go to church, be with God, and wanted to do so much with him. I saw Bethlehem Covenant meeting amazing and accepting people. Youth group in D.C. really helped me with my growing faith. I went to church and understood the sermons, and the music is what got me and still gets me to understand how amazing God is. That's my journey with God up to now.
Thank you, Grace. You know, it explains that we don't all share the same journey. It doesn't really matter how we came to faith. What's really important is that we have faith. And the faith that is being shared, it's the empowered legacy of the church. Faith.
I believe God is the creator of our world, and God the Father created me and put me on this world.
Hi, my name is Veronica Pearson, and today I'm committing to my faith in God. My spiritual journey has been kind of rocky, in all honesty. I was baptized here when I was a baby. My parents thought it was best for me that I was a follower of Jesus, and I completely agree with their decision. I'm hoping through confirmation it'll help me further dedicate my life to Christ.
Jesus came, he said, to usher in the kingdom of heaven, and he often pointed in the Bible, showing that it revealed him, that Jesus is the fulfillment of the scriptures. And the Bible, from beginning to end, shows us that in Jesus, we are seeing the Father at work through the Holy Spirit. There is one God. The letter of Ephesians reminds us that there is one body, one Spirit, just as we were called to one hope with when we were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And our next generation believers trust in this revealed God of the Bible.
My name is Drake Burning. I believe that God is all-knowing and that there is never something he doesn't know. I believe and know that he's very powerful, but all at the same time, he's more loving than he is strong. I know he is always going to help me through my bad times, and I know that some of the bad things in life happen because they have a purpose for me. But I know he will help me get through it all, and I know that I can always come to him no matter what, like if I need help, guidance, anything. I know he'll always be there for me and listen to me every time.
I believe in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, three in one.
As a group of students, you seem to have a clear aspect of who God is as Father. That seems to be unique with you, this group. And Jesus, he taught about the Heavenly Father. And Braylon and Brody and Abby, they're able to capture this revelation in their own words.
My name is Raylan Schmidt, and this is my statement of faith. I believe that God the Father is like a teacher to us. He teaches us his word through the Bible and his Son. God tells us his love for us and tells us about his kingdom in heaven. I also believe that we are like God's children.
I believe God is the creator of our world, and God the Father created me and put me on this world.
God the Father is the creator of all, the almighty, the all-knowing, and the all-powerful. He is the reason I'm here, and he created me wonderfully and perfectly.
We describe ourselves as followers of Jesus, Christians who believe and follow then Jesus' teachings. And as followers, we need to have a clear understanding of who Jesus is, but also what it is that Jesus has done. And I think our students today, you seem eager and ready to share the good news about Jesus.
I believe that the Son of God is a loving, holy, and forgiving person. Jesus has done no wrong in his life on the world. He is, in many ways, a miracle worker, even when we don't notice it in our lives. Jesus is also the light of the world.
I believe God the Son died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins and rose again.
God is the Son is Jesus. The way I would describe him is willing and caring, willing to teach, willing to take our sins, and caring about all of us enough to be willing to do all of that for us.
And so what we are hearing is critical to our understanding of the Son of God, and getting at the heart of God's love goes beyond just recognizing Jesus as a good teacher. It's embracing that reality of his sacrificial death on a cross, a death that overcomes the power of sin and death and sets us free to live a new life. And all this is done on behalf of us by Jesus, willingly and freely, because he loves us. And then he promises we are never going to be alone. He sends us his Spirit.
God the Spirit is with you everywhere you go. He will lead you down the right paths and keep you safe from evil. He will never leave your side.
God the Holy Spirit is with us no matter what. We may not be able to see him, but he is always working in our lives.
He is also a teacher and has taught a lot of things to me that I will use in my everyday life and in situations I have. When we need help, he is there with his guidance, making sure we are on the right path.
I believe God, the Holy Spirit, is always there for me, even when I don't see him, and makes me do the right things.
So what you are saying is really encouraging to me, because it's showing that you are developing a conscious dependence on the Holy Spirit. And even though you can't see him, even though you don't feel him all the time, you are constantly aware that you are never alone, that the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, is with you. And you have a constant connection with God in the ever-present Holy Spirit. So how do we explain the inexplicable? How do we describe the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as one God? Well, I think like this.
I believe that God the Father is loving and forgiving. God is loving because no matter what your background is, where you're from, or your outside appearance, he will love you no matter what. He is forgiving because when we pray for our sins, he cleans our body from the devil's work. I believe that God, the Son of God, is Jesus. He is our Savior that died on the cross for our sins and our mistakes that we made. I also think of Jesus as our teacher. He guides us to the light of the world, showing us right from wrong. When I think of God as the Holy Spirit, I think of him like a voice in my head, telling me right from wrong. His guidance has helped me in many ways throughout my life. He gives me self-control over my thoughts and things I say.
I trust in God because he surrounds us constantly. He is in everyday objects. He's in music, books, and so much more. He has saved lives, caused miracles, and blessed us with eternal life. To me, the Holy Trinity each has a different purpose. The Father is the Creator. He's almighty, all-knowing, and a wonderful teacher. The Son is a compassionate being. He is forgiving and perfect. He was placed on this earth for us to save us from damnation. The Holy Spirit is an almighty being that watches over us at all times.
So Pastor Greg, he understands and he reminds me that truth in these times can't be assumed. So our culture has developed an automatic skepticism to what we hear and what we see and what we read. And that's all understandable. So we ask, how do we determine what is true and what's not true? So whether you grew up with the Bible or not, most people today aren't going to come to the Bible with this automatic assumption that what it says is absolute truth. And that's why I think you as students want to know not only what the Bible says, but you want to know of the experience of those who follow it. So this includes both people that are written about in the Bible, but also people today who are living out what the Bible teaches. So through the discipleship confirmation journey and through youth group and getting into the Bible stories and trying to live out its teachings, this is what you're discovering about the truth of Scripture.
The Bible is God's word. I think it's a simple building block in life because it tells us what God has done for us and how much he loves us. At first, I believe it was just a very long book, but now I know its true purpose and it's here to also help guide us.
I believe the Bible tells the truth about God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and everything that happened.
And I will be learning from the Bible my whole life.
When people ask me what comes to mind when I hear people talk about the Bible, I think of it as an instruction book, giving us the answers to any problem that life has. It may not be the answers that you're looking for, but it's the absolute truth.
So the Bible says of itself that all Scripture is God-breathed, all Scripture is inspired by God. And the New Testament teaches us then about the church. The church is called the body of Christ, it's called the family of God, it's called the bride of Christ or the flock. And this year, I think we've all been challenged in our understanding of what the church is. But we can't do church and be at church the way that we normally do church. So it requires us in some ways to reimagine how the church functions. And I think that we all agree the church is more than a building, certainly. But how are we the church when we can't do the things at the church that we would normally do? So this reality this year has truly, I think, impacted you as students and your experience of being the church in the world. So we've had to forego some things, right? Some large youth group gatherings, some meals on Wednesdays, you know, youth trips, missed out on summer camp this year, that amazing experience. And in doing so, the big question, I think, for all of us becomes, you know, what has this done to you as youth and your relationship to being the church? So has the past 8 months diminished the experience for you as students in the church? And the answer that we're all about to hear, I think, reminds us that the church is not the building, certainly. The church is not all about fun. It's not all about games. And really, you students, you've blessed me so much and given me hope about the church moving forward. You understand that you are the church, and that that we all come to this understanding in listening to you, that how deeply you are committed to the things that really matter. So I think if anyone is concerned about the church in the future going forward, then I'm going to ask you to listen closely to the heart of these students. Listen closely to the next generation church.
The church is a place of gathering, celebration, praise, and worship. Seeing all the people reminds me of the good things God can do for me. Going to church also reminds me of how blessed I am with all the things God has put into my life.
The church is a family. I know if I need help or if I need to talk to someone, they are there for me because I know they love me and I love them. And my love for them is still growing every day.
The church is the gathering of all the followers of Jesus who believe in the resurrection, who gather to share the good news about Christ.
The church is my family. We are all a bunch of beings brought together for one reason, Jesus. The church is a safe environment where everyone is welcome and people are loved for who they are.
I believe that the church is not just the building, it is the people that believe.
The church has been a loving family for me and everyone here. Now and for as long as the church stands and has a leader to inspire faith in others, our church has especially always been lively, enjoyable, and energetic.
The church is probably where I feel most welcomed, and I love the worship. I love the worship, love, and openness.
So our students understand who we are. You understand who we are as the church. We are believers, welcoming and accepting people who Jesus welcomes and accepts, the lost, the left out, the hurting, the lonely, just as we are. And so that together we might find healing and life in his name. So that's the good news that the apostle handed down. He said, "For what I received, I passed on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." The Bible tells us that salvation is found in the name of Jesus. He died and was raised for all. And that's the good news that we have received, that you have received by faith. And we listen to it through your message of salvation.
I believe God has forgiven us by Jesus dying on the cross for us. I believe that salvation restores to a right relationship with God.
If I didn't have salvation, I would be lost, wondering why I'm even here in the first place. But I know that I'm here to follow Jesus and spread his word. When I moved to Wheaton, I was confused on why God would rip me away from everything I knew and make me start again. Moving there taught me a lot. Now I have moved across the country, and this time I think I know why. God wants me here. I don't know why yet, but there's a reason.
Salvation is when you accept Jesus and leave everything up to him, no longer trying to do everything without him.
Marco, I don't think I can say it any better than you just did. Salvation is a free gift, freely received. The Bible says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins."
The greatest gift we have been given is salvation. It is our guarantee that we have eternal life waiting for us in heaven that nobody can take away from us. I also think of church as an advance to the kingdom of heaven.
The word salvation, meaning to be saved from harm, ruin, or loss, by following in Jesus, you are saved from all because he died on the cross for our sins, so we could be saved no matter the cost. In this case, the cost happened to be his very own life.
So at the cost of Jesus' life, we have the gift of salvation. And the Bible describes that as being born again when we receive it, a new life, a new heart, or becoming a new creation. At Bethlehem Church, we talk about that as a relationship with Jesus, as our forgiver, as our leader, as our friend, as our Lord and Savior. So Jesus describes this relationship. It's recorded in the Gospel of Mark. He says, if anyone wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? If anyone is ashamed of me, Jesus said, and my message in this adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father and his holy angels. So these 9 students, 8 sitting here and Abby online, you are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, they are boldly honest for anyone who will listen.
Salvation to me is sacrifice, selflessness, being saved, forgiveness, new life, a gift, and restoring. Salvation makes me feel forgiven always. My relationship with Jesus is what I feel like a story about the stray sheep. I stray away from God and the relationship gets weak, but he pulls me back and I find him again. All of the youth programs really help me stay connected with God.
My relationship with Jesus I consider to be good. Living as his follower to me means doing what he told his followers to do when he was on earth, taking care of other followers of Jesus. So doing the little things, such as talking to other people about Jesus, is my idea of being a follower of Jesus.
My relationship with Jesus has been pretty good ever since I can remember. I've never had serious doubts he doesn't exist or he doesn't love me. To live as his follower means I'm never alone, and I'll always have a shoulder to lean on and someone to talk to.
I believe my relationship with God is always growing and that I'm starting to grow closer to God.
Salvation is eternal life with God if we decide to receive it. My relationship with God is always growing and getting stronger, but it is also a work in progress. I can say that it is stronger now than at the beginning of discipleship confirmation.
I believe salvation as being free. Like you have zero worries about anything. My relationship with Jesus is a lot stronger than it was in the past. I didn't really know what to believe in then. Like things just happen because they do. Like they have no reason. I was still trying to understand, but I never really did. But now, all that has changed. I believe my relationship with Jesus is way stronger, and I'm always ready to find new ways to make it even more stronger and get closer to him.
So we are encouraged, certainly, by what you have shared, and I'm going to share with you what I think you already know, that you're not alone, that this journey of discipleship is a lifelong journey, and it is our heart's desire as your church to walk with you in that journey. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Colossians, he says, we are praying for you and for us as a church. We are praying for you. He says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. So we want to remind you, as you have reminded us, what Peter writes to the believers, that we are called with a purpose to be followers making followers. For you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So we all pray that God enables you to honor the intentions that you make to let your light shine in the world.
I plan to continue to live as a follower of Jesus in the future, telling people about Jesus, going to church, all that stuff.
The rite of confirmation will be meaningful to me because I will be showing everyone around me my faith and commitment to God by being confirmed. I will keep growing my faith by going to youth group, continue to playing in church worship every Sunday I can, and just spread God's good word.
I plan to keep going to church on Sundays, help with fundraisers, go to youth group and youth group trips.
I don't really know what I'm going to do in my journey in faith and life in our church. I haven't really figured that out yet. But I know that I can always keep spreading God's word to other people. And my experience at DC has been amazing. Everything we did, everyone that helped, the camps, the whole experience. Alpha, I believe, is really what did it for me. It was like every time I left, I wanted to go back. If I could suggest it to everyone, I really would.
As I get older, I will keep my faith by attending youth group every Wednesday night and going on retreats. When I graduate from high school, I plan to take my faith with Jesus further by attending church when I come home and also trying to find a church close enough to my college I plan to attend. I would also like to take some religion classes for college or join a Bible study group.
My intentions are to spread his word to people who haven't accepted him into their life and to be a light to everyone. Participating in confirmation is meaningful to me because it will ensure me that he has a plan. It also means I have to spread his word. It will deepen my trust in God and my trust in myself.
I'll be continuing my walk with Christ by attending church, whether it be here or anywhere else. I'd like to continue to help the less fortunate and stay a follower of Christ.
My intentions in continuing my life with Christ is to always stay faithful, follow him and his word, and to pray for everything.
So, church, are you encouraged by what you hear? I am encouraged. And it's important for us to understand that in this life together, in this journey together, it's not about us pouring, all about us pouring into the lives of these 9 students, but about how they are also pouring their lives into us as the church. So we are strengthened and inspired and compelled by their faith to rise up and be the church in our time. We are called to be the church in these days. These are the days that God has given us, that he has equipped us to impact our world for Jesus. So we look around and see what God is doing in your lives. And we see that the church is alive, that the church is thriving, that the church has a new understanding of its purpose and its mission in the world. And these students are encouraging us to consider how to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. So we are to be encouraged by this next generation of Jesus followers.
My words of encouragement is to put God your number one priority in life, because from there he can take care of everything in your life, because he has a plan for you and he knows what he is doing. In life there are going to be ups and downs, and I pray that God will help me and many others through our struggles and make us stronger through him and his word.
The church has also been very helpful to the surrounding communities.
My advice for kids starting or finishing confirmation is to be patient with God's work, because no matter what situation you're in or what's going on in your life right now, he is always there to help you fight your battles.
For everyone who struggles, just try to stick with it and talk to someone about your problem in your relationship with the Lord.
My words of encouragement are, when it seems as though you're all alone and no one cares about you, and it seems he's not there, I promise you he is. He has a different plan for everyone's life. Just keep having faith. I believe in you and God believes in you.
They always say, after the storm comes the sun. That statement can go for a lot of things in life. Like Mother Teresa once said, be the living expressions of God's kindness, kindness in your face, kindness in your eyes, and kindness in your smile.
So be encouraged, Jesus followers. We are celebrating what God is doing in the lives of these 9 students today. But we remember that this celebration isn't to keep to ourselves. This is a Good News Sunday. So it's good news of new life for everyone, for each one, if you're listening online as well. So if you have heard this today and you realize that you need what these 9 students have, then more than anything, I believe they would want you to become what they are, followers of Jesus. They want you to know God's forgiveness. They want you to know God's love. They want you to know God's abiding presence with them, that no matter the ups or downs, that Jesus is always there with open arms to welcome you back home. These students want all of us to know we're not alone. So you and I are never abandoned, and the Father wants nothing more than to fill you with his Holy Spirit. So these 9 students have told us the way to this relationship with Jesus. And the way is through salvation, by putting trust in him. So if you are here listening today and you want that relationship, to join these students in confessing their faith today, then tell Jesus in prayer. Just simply something like this. It's really between you and God, but it simply goes like this. If that's you today, in your heart, pray, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I am sorry for my sins, and please forgive me. And fill me, Jesus, with your Holy Spirit, that I may live a new life for you. Teach me your ways, that I may walk with you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you sincerely trust Jesus today, you are a child of God. Welcome to the family of God.
I believe the church is not just a building. It's the people that make the church. To me, the people here are like my family. All the people here at Bethlehem Covenant have helped me understand God more and have truly changed and made my relationship with God and changed my outlook on life. They have always been there for us kids, and they have just done countless things for us.
Jesus said, if you lose your life for me in the gospel, you will gain it. So friends and followers of Jesus, now that you believe, you are called to live a life worthy of your calling.